Today's daf in Masechet Shvi'it, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yudches, the last daf of the second parak. The last thing that we talked about was checking pumpkins by using a pin. But meanwhile, we've been talking about types of plants that could be used either for their greens or for their seeds, and situations in which taking away the closing watering of the season, or in some cases the closing water rings of the season, maybe two, maybe three, would turn what would otherwise be considered to be a vegetable, in which we would go b'shas l'kita, based on the contrast to what's given in the pasuk of the b'os b'chol migornecho miyikvecha, that this would be in fact a vegetable that would also be like gornecha miyikvecha, because it too would be growing on the water from the previous year. So we were talking yesterday about pumpkins, but there's other cases where we have things that, even if they're part of a plant that is usually eaten, these are parts of a plant that are usually not eaten, even though there's parts of the plant that are. And this is Rabbi Yona Butzraya Amar, Karmulin Peturin Min Hama'aser. So exactly what Karmulin is, a lot of different approaches to what it is. And, okay, so some learn it's a type of vegetable, and it's the type of thing which therefore is not edible until it actually grows the little gourds that it grows. Others learn that it just means normal large leaves from karmulin. But in that case, they are putter because they're not royal achila. But they're only not royal achila that the temachilos or diluin. Once they grow their little gourds, then they are like a yerek. Imasu diluin, even the leaves and the yerek then becomes roy. So this is like a different situation. Because we were talking about Pola Mitzri, the leaves are not dependent in terms of their consumability on the zera. Over there was just a question of what your intent was. Here, for the first time, we're talking about the type of plant where the edibility of the leaves is dependent on the production of the zera. So this is like a really cute additional point that relates to it. And Hori Rabbi Yossi, the Elan Ale Kulkasia. So Dr. Felix has some pictures of what he says maybe the Kulkasia. Now what the Kulkasia was used for, really, was for its very large leaves. They're not edible, but they make a wonderful basket or a wonderful drinking cup where you can fold them, use them to hold water, their deep leaves, and drink out of them. But you're not allowed to do that during Shvi'is. Why not? These are actually types of food that are osur b'Shvi'is, even though they're not consumable by humans. Why? Because deers eat them. And it says in the pasuk, Chayat HaSadeh. So since they're eaten as food by deers, if you use them to make drinking cups out of, so then you're violating the din of La'ochla. Because La'ochla doesn't mean only you, Ochla. It means Beferish, that the animals out there in the field are able to eat them. And therefore, the same way you're not allowed to be Ma'abed Perishvias, that are edible by humans, you're not allowed to destroy the food that the deers would be eating by turning them into paper cups. Fabulous halacha. Since the tzvayim ochlim otam. All right. Now, getting back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said that you can be merabetz afar lavan. So tain is Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yaakov. He says you're not allowed to be merabetz. And we spoke about the din of merabtzim not being a normal deep watering, but being like a sprinkling. So now, it turns out, apparently, that Rabbi Shimon would be going according to the Shita of the Rabbanan in Moed Katan, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov would be going according to his own Shita in Moed Katan. Because remember the Mishnah of Moed Katan? Tanina Taman, Moshchim et hamayim mi'ilan li'ilan. So over there, you're allowed, this was what Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said there, even though we didn't quote it from him, but that part of the Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Moshchim et ha-mayim me'ilan le'ilan. So you're allowed not to do a normal watering, but what you can do is you can like make a small channel, you know, take a broomstick, make a little channel where there was water around the roots of one tree. Bring that water and let it run along the ground to go to another tree. So that way you can get like a little bit of water under every tree. But you have to be careful. You have to be careful not to do a hashkaya to the whole field. Because remember, on Chol HaMoed, what are we matir? We're matir only a dover ha'avud. So for something to be a dover ha'avud, for Chol HaMoed, it needs to really be in danger. And it's certainly enough to drip water, drip irrigate, to let it survive. But there's been no heter. Why would I be allowed to water the whole thing? I mean, if I'm watering the whole thing, so then I'm not doing it in order for it to survive. I'm doing it in order to have the roots spread and to become stronger. But I'm not allowed to do that in Chol HaMoed. So even though that's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, it says at the end, it says, V'Rabbanan Matiri. So apparently this is considered to be by the Rabbanan also a Dover Avod. And that if you end up not watering all around, so then the roots are going to shrivel and you're going to have an actual damage to the tree. So this is exactly what we seem to be saying over here. L'gabi Shvi'as, we've already seen that the halachas of Shvi'as and Chol HaMoed seem to be very similar. So probably it would be the same halacha. So that Rabbi Shimon, who says over here that you're allowed to be marbitz Shvi'as, is going according to the Rabbanon, because he says you could do the whole field. He didn't seem to make any specific din that it's limited. Mashen Kein Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who asers, he's going according to his shita. And he said, you're not allowed to water a whole field during Chol HaMoed. Now, the question is, Rabbanan Amar L'Stam. So Rabbanan said, this is a very suspicious girsa, but anyway, because, I mean, it is talking about Stam later on. So the Igra actually makes it much more reasonable by saying the correct girsa is Bistam, meaning that Rabbi Mona says it doesn't matter how the field was planted. If we're talking about a field of Ilanot, this is what the Rambam explained the whole situation here of the Afrilavan, whether they're planted close together or they're planted far apart, Rabbi Mona said that the whole machlokas over here has no difference as to whether the trees are close together, further apart, whereas Reb Ovin B'Shem Shmuel says, Bistam, that means that in a normal field, meaning where you have the Stam field, what's the Stam field? Well, we said, in a Beit Zahah, you have Eser Ilanot in a Beit Zahah. So that means that the machlokas between the Chachamim, Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, was only in a field that was Stam. And look, I mean, why am I saying this? Think about it for a minute, right? Manan kayami. So, hey, chidami. What exactly is the case over here? Im b'meruvachim. So if we're talking about trees that are further apart than the normal concentration, which is asara and beit za'ah, correct? So then everybody would, of course, agree that it's asur, because all of the heterim that we had before about the watering esteya ilan, that was because we had botanically determined. We're not talking about, remember, Eser Netiyos. We're talking about the Ilanas here. So that's halacha l'meshri Sinai, but we had botanically defined that in the event that you have Ilanot that are spread out, the standard spreading would be 10 to a Beit Zahah, and that way it would be covering the whole area and make it in need of water. Okay? So if that's the case, that the trees are further apart than the standard that was defined by Chazal of 10 per 2,500 amma squared, so then everybody would be made that you're not allowed to be mashke, because it isn't necessary. So how could we possibly entertain that somebody would say that's okay? If you're talking about the Ritzufim, so then everybody for sure would be made that during Chol HaMoed you can water it, because otherwise there's going to be parts of the tree that aren't watered. So what would the machlokas over here be? The only case where it would make sense would be Alakenanan Kayami. But in Tuin Mata Esla Beitza, what we have over here is a precise example of the shear that the Chachamim gave. So Rabbi Eliezer says, okay, so then that idea is that they are properly spread and you're not allowed to look at them as being in desperate need of water. And therefore, you can't go ahead and water them unless there's more of a need. Whereas Rabbanan says, no, it's just as if they're close together, which means that every last inch of this field is considered to be on top of tree roots that are in need of watering. So, now, if you're telling me that, okay, so the Rabbanan are saying that that would mean that if they're further apart than Asara Bebetza'ah, you're not allowed to be mashke. But you never explained whether they would be made that you can be mamshich, which was what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was talking about, where you're just making like a little line in the sand with your broom, you know, and now the water's going to go there. And the reason that this is an important question is because remember that during Chol HaMoed, what is very important is not just the question of whether it's a Dover HaOvod, but whether it's a tircha in Chol HaMoed. So there are malachas that were not going to be matir, even if they are a Dover HaOvod, in cases of tircha yisera and so on. So maybe the combination of the lack of tircha in terms of hamshacha, just drawing the water from one tree to another, where you're not doing a deep watering, maybe they would be maida. That over there, even though I can't do a regular hashka, that's all they said, a sulashkot. But would they agree that you would be allowed to be mamshich? Says the Gemara, well, look, I mean, you can derive from Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who was the one that talked about Hamshacha, right? You can derive from what he says what it would be that the Rabbanan would say. Because Nelef, you can learn Hada the Rabbanan min the Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Let's talk about what you think the Rabbanan would hold in that case based on what Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was talking about in his case. I would say that Kamoda Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Amar b'mruv v'achim. Look, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was talking about in a case which, according to him, is meruvach, meaning it's not really meruvach, but it's precisely the asara in a beitza'ah, right? Now, what did he say over there? That it's asar lahashkot, but he said it is mutar lahamshich. So then the Rabbanan, according to them, harvacha is more, meaning more distant than would allow for ten in a beitza'ah. So then it should be the same thing. I mean, we don't see that they argue. They only spoke about Hashkaya. Muter l'amshech, v'asur l'ashkot. Anyway, so getting back to what I was saying. So I was saying that it appears that basically Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is a complete duplication of what we found in the Mishnah in Moed Katan, right? And we're just translating it into Shvias. And over here, Rabbi Shimon is going Aliba the Rabbana. That's what was claimed. Now, the question is that a good assumption? Because Lokin Sevarnan Meimar B'Meruvachim Divrei HaKol Asur. Okay, so what were we taking for granted over here? We thought that everybody would agree that you cannot water it if it's Meruvach. So then what we've been talking about over here, the Afar. Okay, now even if this Afar would be referring to a literal a stay lavan, in which there weren't trees. It wasn't a stay ilan. So then that is always the equivalent of trees that are meruvachim, right? And Afal Pikin, Rabbi Shimon says, that you're allowed to water it during Shvias. So how come when it's talking about in Lagabe Chol HaMoed, we're saying it's Aser? So obviously, it's not the same. You made a wrong assumption that the dinim of Shvias and Chol HaMoed are precisely the same. And what it is that I see in Shvias, I can assume, is a direct correlate to that which we found in the Mishnah of Moed Katan. Not true at all. Elakan b'Shvias. He's talking b'davka during Shvias, but he would agree that when it comes to Chol HaMoed, if you have a stei ilan and they're meruvachim, you're not allowed to water it. So who says that it has anything to do with the sheet of the Rabbanan Legabe Moed Katan? Well, why is this true? I mean, I understand that you're saying that that could be the way we would look at it, assuming that, yes, the offer love and over year would explain, would be even in the case of just where we're growing grain or kidneys, but what would be the logic to it? Ma ben shvias, ma ben moed. I mean, why would they really be different? Why would they be different? They're totally different issues. Look, shvias, there is no iser malacha at all. Is there? Shvias is entirely an agricultural focus. What you're looking at is not the question of what the man is doing. What we're looking at is what is being done to the ground, right? I don't care how much work you're putting into it. That's irrelevant for shvias. But the question of how much work you're putting into it is the main point when it comes to Chol HaMoed, isn't it? I mean, so we created Yisroim because the Torah told us to be makpid on a level of Shvisa. So, okay, so it gave it over, hold like that, to give it over into the hands of the Chachamim to define which things are us or which things are motor. But there's obviously a concept of Melacha, and Melacha includes the element of Tircha. So over there, it became an important issue in determining what things are motor b'chol HaMoed and what things are us. So Shvi is, Ayidei Shemutar v'Melacha, Hitiru by Davashu Torah and Davashenu Torah. They're not going to make a distinction over here about heavy duty watering or something that's just, you know, just a light thing. What do I care? The question is whether this is called watering. It has nothing to do with how much work you put into it. Mashenken by Chol HaMoed, the point of Chol HaMoed is that it's also b'malacha. So what is considered to be malacha? So over there, the Chachamim were magdir, the amount of tircha, as being a fundamental element of determining whether something is a malacha. So lo hitiru, ela, a combination. It has to be a davashu avad. And it has to be a davar she'eino toreach. But they're not even going to be matir, a davar ha'avad, in the event that it is a lot of tircha. And therefore, it's very possible that since, if you're going to need to water the whole field, in a case of where it's meruvach, even if you tell me that it is nogea on davar ha'avad, and that the roots are going to be damaged, I don't care. Because we don't allow things during Chol HaMoed, if they are a lot of work. That's one possibility. Now, Itabayim L'mishmein in my Hada, some want, it's a very strange language, because Itabayim Nishmein in my Hada, normally Nishmein in Hada is bring a raya. In this case, we're using the word Nishmein in Hada, is that you can figure out the possibility from considering the following. But it's not the way we usually use that word. Okay, but some say that the difference between Shvias and Chol HaMoed would be based on understanding that Shvias is a whole year. Chol HaMoed is like 7 days. I mean, like, what's the big deal? So it's something that you're, let's say you're going to not do what you need to do for 7 days. I mean, really, it's going to be a disaster. And if you're not going to do what you need to do for a whole year, yes, it's going to be a disaster. So obviously we're going to have different ideas. So since Shvias, this is Mana Meruba, it's a long time. So for the whole year, I'm not going to water the field. And what happens to those roots in a year? You don't think that those roots are going to be damaged in a year? Of course they'll be damaged. So because of that, they were matir. Mashenkin during Chol HaMoed, Ayideshus Mano Katsur. I mean, so what, so if 1 week I don't water, you really think there's going to be such important damage, it's not going to get, I mean, big deal. So Ayideshus Mano Katsur. So they answered it. Ah, says the Gemara, but then I got a problem for you. It's a very cute question. How about the last 7 days of Shemitah? So then it becomes the same as Chol HaMoed. So how come we give a heter to do this during Shemitah? We should say, okay, you could do this during Shemitah, but not the last 7 days of Shemitah, because then it becomes the equivalent of Chol HaMoed. Cute, huh? So Otan Shivat Yamim Acharonim, Lo Mistavrim Abdin Keshivas Yimei HaRegel? Wouldn't it be reasonable to treat them like the Shivas Yimei HaRegel, and therefore it ought to be Aser? But it's not true, because it says the Loshen in the Braita is Ashkechtani, Mirabzim Bafer Lovim Beshvias, Avalo B'moi, Divi Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Eliezer Ben Yaakov, Oser. So apparently, what are we talking about? We're talking about the same situation of Shvias, meaning a 7 day Shvias, versus the situation of 7 days for Moed. That's exactly the point. And we're saying that when it comes to Shvi'is, it's mutter. So now, how do you explain that? So that would mean that the real difference between Shvi'is and Chol HaMoed can't be the amount of time. It's got to be based on the question of the Yisr Malacha and the amount of Tircha that is involved. And on that, Hadron Aloch, Sedei Halavan, we now, Baruch Hashem, have finished the second perek, Bli Neder. And we're going to have to persuade Richie to come back. No? I think we should circulate a petition. Okay, everyone, may we be Zoche to Besuras Tevis and not the very painful things that happened overnight. And we should have no more reports, Chas V'Chalila, of Chalalim or Pesuim. Only the best are Zoche to die in this Milchama. Besuras Tevis, everyone.